MSDN Radio. Kanban Lean or Mean. Today is a special day for me. It's MSDN Radio, and we have three really good-looking guys I see here on my screen, and also very interesting guys to talk about Lean and Kanban, and questions around that. So I have Alan Shalloway, I have Håkan Fors, and Joakim Sundén. Before we start about discussing Kanban and Lean, Alan, should you introduce yourself?
Yes, thanks. I'm Alan Shalloway. I'm CEO of Net Objectives. We're headquartered in Seattle, but really do work around the world. And although we do a lot of technical training, and that's kind of how we started the company, our main efforts are really about transforming software companies with software development organizations, both at the business management and the team level.
Just to get it out of the way, you are not working for Microsoft in any way because you live in Seattle?
No, I'm not working for Microsoft.
Good. Håkan?
Yes, Håkan Fors. I'm consultant at Forefront Consulting Group, software developer, software architect with a great passion for Lean and Kanban.
And Joakim?
I'm a consultant with the Avega Group in Stockholm. I'm originally a developer, but mostly do agile, lean, and Kanban coaching nowadays. And it was Johan Söderström and Peter Hultgren who took the initiative to Lean Coffee Sumpan that you, Dag, visited earlier a few weeks back.
When we have that topic up, could you, Joakim or Håkan, explain what Lean Coffee Sumpan is?
Yeah, sure. Do you want me to do it, Håkan?
Sure.
We got the idea from Jim Benson, who we met in Atlanta at the Lean conference there. He has been doing it for a while together with a few other guys and girls in Seattle. Where they gather in the morning and drink a cup of coffee and perhaps a sandwich and just talk about Lean and Kanban related stuff. And we did the same thing. We do the same thing they did. Do a mind map while we're talking about the stuff we're talking about, and then we post it on a blog. I'm sure you can attach the URL in the podcast.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
So, go to the point directly, the main topic of this interview. What is really Kanban? Is it some Japanese karate or something like that, Alan?
Well, Kanban is an overloaded term, unfortunately, and it is used in manufacturing as a signal card, as when you need more work done downstream, but it really... In the software world has just meant to be a label for, you know, you could have called it a banana and it would have been just as meaningful in some regards. That it really means you're going to use the theory of lean flow, which essentially says make your work explicit, have explicit policies about how you're doing it, manage your work in progress, and look to see what blocks you. Look at time as opposed to productivity. So, but that's like what it looks like from a team point of view. But what it really is, the way David Anderson, who has the definitive book on it called Kanban, is a change management system to transition your organization, not just the team, from where it is to a more productive way by adding visibility to your process and making conscious decisions about what you're doing and managing your work in progress to eliminate bottlenecks. Now, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but I have to ask you one more thing. What then is the difference between Lean and Kanban? I don't understand the difference there.
Well, I would suggest that Lean is a manifestation. Excuse me, that Kanban is a manifestation of Lean thinking, as well as perhaps combining some ideas of the theory of constraints and organizational development, recognizing that too abrupt a change can actually make a difference. So it may be better to start with, well, what is Lean? Since I would suggest Kanban is a particular approach to using Lean in an organization. So Kanban is a subset of Lean in that regards.
So the Toyota Way, this is Lean, the famous book, and Kanban is a more software implementation of Lean. Is it right to say so?
The way David Anderson has done it, it's a software. But, you know, the Lean community is, in some regards, shifting quite a bit. Most of the Lean community, like led by the LEI, which is really a phenomenal organization, is about Lean in manufacturing and Lean in services. Lean in software, although it shares an awful lot with manufacturing and services, I tend to and prefer to think of really as a separate, as kind of a separate thought center where you can actually learn a lot from what's happened in lean manufacturing because the principles are the same, but the manifestation of it is so different. There's a lot of confusion when people try to say, well, here's what they do in manufacturing. Like in manufacturing, the Taichi Ono, who was the kind of the implementer of the Toyota production system, they have seven wastes. Actually, it wasn't Ono who came up with those, now that I think about it, but there's seven manufacturing wastes, and people try to translate the manufacturing wastes into the software community, which is sometimes useful but sometimes confusing because the wastes are really not quite the same, and there are different kinds of wastes in software than manufacturing. So I prefer to talk about Lean software as a standalone body of knowledge that can draw from Lean manufacturing and Lean services, but not dependent upon it, and that's I think it's a cleaner way to discuss it. So Lean software would be, how do you take whatever we might call generic Lean and apply it into software? And I can kind of elaborate on that if you'd like.
Håkan and Joakim, has you something to add to this?
The big question is, what is it that makes lean software development or lean in software development different than other approaches to doing software development? And I think one of the key issue, the key points is that you focus on making even the smallest thing flow through your development process as fast as possible, and then, for instance, eliminate the waste in that process. I'm not sure if all of you agree, but that's the basis for lean software development in my thinking.
Yeah, I think that's definitely one of the key measures. I think that's very concise.
Joakim?
Yeah, I agree. I usually, if I only have 30 seconds to explain Lean, I usually say that it's about making the workflow through the entire value chain, not just looking at what does the team do, but look at it from the perspective of the customer, from when I want something until it is really delivered, and look at the whole chain and try to optimize that, and to never produce the stuff that's unnecessary, just do stuff just in time when you can. And someone described Lean basically as engaging all of the workers or all of the organization in constantly looking for identifying problems and eliminating them or solving them. And I think that's a common ground or value that Lean share with Agile. And that's why they are often close, and people talk about them as if they were the same. Although they're not.
So, for example, this is rather interesting. In Joachim, they say that the whole process in many companies and teams I have visited, the teams are like an island. They are really protecting their borders from the business units, from the IT departments and so on, and they want to be their self, their own. But in Lean, you try to get a bigger picture and see the whole process even before the development and the development team are working on features and even after. Is it so?
I think that's absolutely one of the biggest differences. Lean, you know, taking what Joachim and Joachim just said, is that it is the entire value stream from idea to completion. So where do the ideas come from? How do you manage them? How do you size them? How do you prioritize them? And that often has an impact on the teams. Teams often get overwhelmed when they're given many, many things or when the direction has changed. So in some ways, and I don't really think this was the intention of Scrum to create islands, but it has ended up happening. This has been a reaction to being overwhelmed. Well, we'll stop the overwhelming by forcing a certain amount of work to be done, and protecting ourselves by having one backlog with one product owner. But it doesn't address any of the upstream problems that might be taking place by the business not actually understanding both what they need to prioritize and what their downstream impact is. In very large organizations, I find this is actually typically the biggest problem is this upstream effect at the product portfolio level. Have you guys seen that as well?
Oh yeah. To add to your experience, Dag, I think that's where Scrum and a lot of other team focused practices goes wrong sometimes, because you live in a very chaotic world in a big organization, and just to get some order, you create a bubble where you try to focus on the team, not getting disturbed by the other departments, and you create just one entry point into the team. It's the product owner in Scrum, and then you try to close out everything else. And I would say that the Kanban perspective or Lean perspective is to try to look at the interfaces to the rest of the organization and to make the process transparent and to actually start communicating upstreams and downstreams to solve the problems through the entire chain. Kanban more naturally opens up the conversation with other stakeholders. It's not built into the necessarily to the Scrum method, but that's how I often see them used or misused. I don't know if that makes sense.
it's rather interesting to see the whole picture, but it's also a bit overwhelming because I think when we talk about Scrum, and maybe we should start by do a definition. What's the difference between Kanban and Scrum? But after that, I want to think about this. In the development organization, they have many problems, and Scrum was a enabler to get some better team collaboration and better products. And this decision, the development team, the development organization could do by themselves almost. But Kanban is more on a bigger level. It has to be the whole organization, and it's even harder to get this to work, or I'm thinking wrongly here?
Well, Kanban doesn't have to be at the whole organization level, but it can apply. But I think it's a good question when you actually step back and say, fundamentally, what is the difference between Scrum and Kanban? And most people, when they start answering that question, they look at the practices, and that's really not the place to look. Like, you know, people note that Scrum has time-boxed iterations and Kanban doesn't, but that's not really the difference. That's a difference in manifestation. The real difference is Scrum is a process framework, it's really a framework for how am I going to approach my problem. Originally it was designed as 30-day iterations, and now people do anywhere from 1, 2, 3, or 4-week iterations. But it's It's a holding method to figure out what you need to do. Now, Kanban, as it's really intended, is a change management system. In other words, you can apply it anywhere without changing where you are, whereas Scrum, because it has a prescribed structure, Scrum requires you to have teams. Now, teams are good, so don't get me wrong. Swarming teams are wonderful, but sometimes it's difficult to put them in. So one of the biggest differences, Scrum often requires a big transition to get to Scrum. You just basically reorganize and you have new roles and it's a big change and it's kind of upsetting to people. And at the time Scrum started being popular, teams were just most of the time being overwhelmed by management, micromanagement and bureaucracy. So Scrum was kind of a little bit of a defensive mechanism to enable effective teams. So that's actually a good thing when you think about it. It's just that I think maybe we've gone past the need for that overreaction or that reaction. Now it's an overreaction. Back then it was probably a good thing. Kanban says start where you are, map your value stream, see what you're doing, continue to do what you're doing, just make it visible, make it so everybody can see it. Then start managing your work in progress, making agreements with your stakeholders as to when you take work in and take work out or when you review what's been done. And it actually gives you a way to work where you are now, respecting what you know now, and becomes a continual process improvement method that can start anywhere. So you could actually apply Kanban to Scrum if you wanted to. And I think that's
I think that's very interesting. You could see it as a meta process that you can apply to just about anything, and that's why it's so difficult to grasp at the same time. I've been using Kanban or coaching teams in digital media companies, ad agencies. I've even talked to the school and the kindergarten department at Solna Stad, and you can use it in about anything. And you can use it at the team level, you can use it at the organization level, and that's why it can be hard to grasp sometimes what it really is. And I think Scrum is great too. And I would love to use Scrum as much as I can where it's a good suit for Scrum, but it isn't always the case. And that's what you see sometimes. And when some people describe, I use Kanban instead of Scrum or something, they are usually thinking of, okay, we try to do Scrum or something Scrum-like, but the sprint planning and the time boxing didn't really suit us, or it was too difficult for us. And then they say, okay, we just visualize the work and we try to manage the work in process, and then we call it Kanban. And I think that many people misunderstand Kanban and think that's actually Kanban when you do Scrum but you don't do the sprint planning. So there's some confusion there.
But then again, if you see it as described by David Anderson and as we talked today, you can start with whatever process you have today, and you might have you might end up doing Scrum. You might more or less keep doing what you do today, or you might change your process to something that you don't even have a slightest idea how it's going to be. It's just a tool to actually force yourself to do changes to your process to be more efficient in how you do, in this case, software development. So it doesn't really, really matter, as I see it, where you kind of end up. You might start with Scrum and then you apply Kanban to maybe take away the sprint planning if that's not suitable for you. So it's more of a change, process change tool. But then you have the confusion term with the Kanban boards and so forth, so that many people also put into the word of Kanban.
Yeah, what's a Kanban board then? It's a very similar to Scrum board, but something are changed, and many are using this Kanban board. So that's just a technique or a tool.
It's hard to understand the power of visualization if you haven't been exposed to it yourself. But I see, I visit a lot of development teams doing Scrum or something else, and they often have ambitions. Oh, we should do this and that. We should code review every time we do that, and we should work together on those items. And then everyone goes back to their desk and just do what they have always been doing. But if you visualize these steps, you put a column for a code review, you set up explicit policy that when we move an item from this column to that one, we should check a mark on the work item note if we have reviewed it together, and just using these simple visualization tools really helps the team to be disciplined and to follow the practices and the policies they have set up together. That's one point of it.
So visualization is rather important. I was thinking about the air, what do you call it in English, air traffic controller, the guys that see that planes lands on airports. They could use ordinary lists with just text, but they prefer to use, of course, visualizations of airplanes in the air and so on. Is it a bit the same? It's easier to get a good overview and see the flow and see where the airplanes are, where the work items are, where the features are, and so on.
Yeah, but let me contrast with Scrum, because I think that description, Joachim, you gave is really good. But I know that a lot of people, when they hear that, will say, but wait a moment, a Scrum board gives visualization. I see what's coming in. I see what's going out. I see what's being worked on. And that's true. So Scrum gives you that level of visualization, but you did say something that is very critical. I just want to make sure people pick up, which is you explain why you're doing it. Like if we have a code review, then you actually say, well, here we're having a code review. You explain how you get something into a column and how you get something out of a column. Now, these aren't static policies. These are what the team is doing, and they can change it at any moment, and it doesn't even have to be one way of doing it. You could say, well, if this happens or this happens, we do this, or if this happens and that, and then we do that. But it's just whatever the group decides as a group they will do. And the thing that's as important is it gives visibility then into the process itself. Whereas Scrum, if you go back to Ken Schwaber's original book, Scrum, use the process the team is doing as a black box. You can see what's going in and you can see what's going out, and you can see what's happening in the box, but you can't see why what's happening in the box is happening. The cause and effect doesn't apply because of complex adaptive system theory and all that stuff. Kanban says it differently. Kanban says, no, if we watch and manage our work, we can run these little tiny experiments. This is a lean concept that says, very well described, by the way, in Toyota Kata. So even though I kind of use software as somewhat separate when I do things, I like to learn from Toyota a lot. And in Toyota Kata, they talk about continuous process improvement is achieved when you could say, well, here's where we are, here's our target condition, then we try something and we see what happens. This is how the work in progress limits are helpful on the Kanban board. So it's this attitude of continuous process improvement, trying something, see what happens, trying something, see what happens, but on a even hourly basis, a daily basis, not just at the retrospection at the end of the sprint.
This was an interesting question and a discussion when I was at the Lean Coffee. It was the discussion about the team and if they have more concrete roles or if the team is just a big chunk or big pile of competences. And if Håkan, you can maybe have to correct me here, but it was a discussion between development and test. And we discussed there if a developer should be testers or if it would be a more clearer transition from development to test, and if testers should be in the team and so on. And that was a rather interesting discussion, especially if you are in the Scrum, when you work with Scrum, where you should have no testers or everyone should be a tester.
That's the problem, I think, sometimes, that because when you do Scrum, people talk about the ideal state all the time rather than what's actually being done. Everyone should be testing, not only the testers. And Kanban seems to be a, going back to waterfall, because suddenly you have a developer and then in test and then you have different roles doing it. And what Kanban actually says is to start visualizing and understanding what you're actually doing and take the improvements from there. So and that's what I think also it goes back to the visualization stuff, because the visualization is actually about defining a process that's implicit. Maybe you don't even know what the other guys are doing. And when you start to discussing how this is how we should visualize our workflow, this is what actually happens, and then you suddenly define the process and make these policies explicit. And then maybe it even becomes more apparent that the tester is overloaded. How can we? He's a bottleneck or she's a bottleneck. How can we do something about that? Well, developers should help the tester, and the problem becomes much more visible than with, for example, Scrum. And I also think that in a Scrum board, you have typically to do, doing, done. Then you don't challenge a discussion about what are we actually doing. Everything goes into doing. You don't have to talk about what you're actually doing. The discussion never comes up. So I often suggest to teams doing Kanban that define a workflow, and even if it's wrong, it's better to actually get something up there, but to make you discuss the way the work works, to understand that, to trigger the discussions and conversations. I don't know if that answered your question, but...
yeah, I think so. Has Alan or Håkan something to add to this?
One thing, people, when I have introduced Scrum to some teams, and you start talking about everyone should do all the work, and we should be 100% cross-functional in our team, you usually get some people that are database experts, some are testers, or some are developers, and maybe some are user interface designers and so forth, and they feel like, but I don't know how to do database design, and if I should do that, I will be maybe 5% effective in doing that compared to doing my specialty. And what Kanban in this case says is that just start with the process, how you work today, and if you get a problem somewhere in the process that starts to be the bottleneck, even if you're not 100% effective doing, for instance, testing, just helping out in testing will improve the total flow of the system instead of just making your part of the system effective. And this is much easier to introduce to the organization instead of doing the big revolution of saying everyone should do everything as it's stated in the Scrum literature and trainings. And I think this is something that's much, much easier to do, introducing the thinking by using the Kanban method instead of making this revolution of introducing Scrum in some organizations.
I just want to point out two things quick. That one's Scrum, that's actually a common misconception of Scrum, I think, that cross-functional doesn't really mean that everyone has to be able to do everything, that just that the team should have all the competences needed to bring something from idea to solution. But it's a common enough misunderstanding that it's people really believe that's the case. And the second thing I want to point out is that we're talking now like it's Scrum versus Kanban, but of course it's not. This is actually just how Kanban can be used on a Scrum team or another team to improve the process.
Good. I want to talk a bit more about the flow. The flow, you talk about flow all the time when you talk about Kanban. And the first thing I want to ask you about is the WIP. When I first heard it, I thought you had a WIP to WIP the developers to do more. But I now understand that this is something different. Alan, what's the WIP and why is it important?
Well, it stands for work in progress. And I think the easiest way to get a sense of it is imagine a day you had a lot to do, like, you know, 10 or 15 things on your list. And you go into work, and when you're there, just so happens that day everybody seems to come and bother you with something. And at the end of the day, you were really, 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 really busy, and you got nothing done. And the question is, why did that happen? And it happens because you're working on so many things you can't focus. So the idea is you want to manage the work in progress so you can get something done quickly. Now, in software, this is critical and is easily illustrated by something any developer or somebody who's seen a developer can relate to. If you are working and you write a bug and somebody tells you, like, within an hour, because you are focusing on getting that done and they were able to test it right away, and you say, oh, I've got this error here, you can fix it very quickly because it's fresh in your mind and other things haven't changed in the system. Now, on the other hand, let's say you're a developer working on five or six things and you've got testers who are working on five or six things and you write the same error, but they don't tell you you made the mistake for a week until a week later. Well, now it's not a quick fix. Rather, you spend hours and hours looking for it. And in fact, developers, when you ask them, are convinced they spend most of their time fixing bugs, when the reality is they spend most of their time finding the bug because they're working on so many things. So the question is, how do you get focus on a team? How do you make it so you work on one thing? This goes back to the notion of getting something done quickly, the cycle time. Well, if you want to get something done quickly, then you have to have two things. You have to be working on that thing. And if you're working on multiple things at once, then obviously you're not going to be working on everything all the time, but most of the time something will just be sitting there. So work in progress limits both limit the overall number of things you're working on, but they also detect when something is kind of just waiting, because if you have like a big queue, if you don't have work in progress limits, you'll have large queues where things just sit until people can get them. So it's a method of managing how you avoid delaying things. To me, this is one of the counterintuitive things of what we call lean product development flow. You're not focusing on how to do your job better as much as you're focusing on how not to wait. And you do that by focusing on how to get the right people doing the right work at the right time by only allowing them to work on so many things, the important things at the moment.
And on the Kanban board, you had a rather interesting visualization of the WIP. Håkan, could you explain that a bit more?
yes, and what you usually do that you have for one state of your work, you usually have say that you would limit the amount of work you're going to do in that particular state. That might be development or testing or something else. And then you state explicitly how many things you are able to have ongoing in that state. And usually on a Kanban board, you have either a column and you have a number for that column that states the explicit limit, or in some more maybe advanced visualizations, you actually only have room for the amount of work that you say that you have the policy in for that state. So it's very visual how much work, if you have room left or if you are have more work in that state than you have actually stated in your your policies.
And this was what I talked about also earlier with the visualization, because if you only have physical room for, say, four work items in the development column, and you feel compelled to pull a fifth item, it really stands out on the board. It becomes very explicit that you're doing something not in line with what you as a team have decided. and that might actually be okay from time to time, but it says that something is not right here.
Håkan was driving me to the station after the lean coffee, and we talked a bit more about Kanban, and it was one thing that was rather interesting thought that you shared with me, Håkan. It was, do less is sometimes better than do more. Do you remember?
Yes, and it's really two parts. If you do less things, more or less, if you have lesser things on your to-do list, it's you will do much less task switching, and the task switching, as we talked about before, really slows you down. If you have lots of things that you just switch between, you might be working full time, but you haven't achieved anything. And the other part is that you can actually go much, much faster sometime if you really slow down your work and focusing on things like quality. So it's really two aspects of if you try to minimize the things you do to fewer things, and you also try to raise the level of quality and so forth, you can actually make the total process go much, much faster. And it's very counterintuitive. And the most counterintuitive part of it, when I talk to people about limiting work in progress, is that you might even get your process to go faster if you stop doing anything, if you are not the bottleneck in the system.
Yeah, well, it's funny you bring this up. A year and a half ago, I wrote a blog called "Don't Do More with Less, Do Less with More." And the intention of that was, one of the distinctions about lean is it says focus on getting the most important things, which Kanban reflects, and do it throughout the entire organization. So instead of asking for the development team to get more done, what you're saying is you want to actually look through the entire value stream from start to finish, focusing on the most important thing and the next most important thing. I mean, every organization I know, if you ask them at the team level, at the product level, you know, the business level, and you say, how much time have you spent working on trying to figure out what you should do on things that never get out the door, never get consumed by customers, never get of use? And it's usually a very large amount of work. So lean is about focusing on not doing that work. Agile is too, to a large extent. Agile, the intention of building things incrementally is so you can discover what you don't need. The biggest difference to me is lean actually provides you a thought process on how to approach this, other than just do it incrementally. Doing it incrementally is great, but in very large organization, it leaves a very big how.
Yeah, and I think that's what you talked about. You can more make that even more clear. If you're aware of the delays, the negative effects of delays, of context switching, of waiting in software development, then you don't want to keep many things going. And let's say if you're not aware of those things, and suddenly the stuff I'm working on, the work item, it's blocked somehow because I have to wait on a guy or a server is down or something, then I just pick another work item. Why not? And continue to work with that. Then I miss an opportunity to actually solve the problem. Why do I have to wait for that guy? Why does the server keep going down? Having a few work items in process makes you much more aware of problems and trying to solve them instead of just accepting them and pulling more work.
But if I'm a manager for managing a software development team, and I see my developers doing nothing, I want to make them busy because I pay them lots of money. Isn't that the problem?
You know, this is, I think, I don't know, I won't call it a misconception, but Kanban doesn't say don't do anything. What it says is don't add to a queue that isn't going anywhere, because that just creates extra work. In other words, if the problem you have is testing isn't keeping up with development, then it says, I don't want necessarily, then in that case, my developers to keep writing more code. What I could do is say, well, why are the developers so far ahead of the testers? And you could come up with better ways of collaborating between the testers and the developers, like use acceptance test-driven development that'll keep them more in sync, or do peering. So the fact that you have these queues that are causing problems give you an indication of where you need to work. But let's say you've got it mostly down, or you've got some decent flow, and it happens that something's blocked, and you have where somebody can't do work at the moment. Or they see that. I would suggest there's never a case where you can't do work. I would suggest now is the time to say, well, look, I normally do this kind of thing, but there's a big queue after me, so that doesn't make sense. What can I do that would be productive that won't add to the queue? Well, that might mean helping somebody else, or it could be everybody I know that I've worked with in an organization has lots of things they would just, oh, if I only had time, I could get to this, like, you know, rewrite that design, or rewrite that documentation, or just clean up something, or who knows what. So WIP limits can also be used after you look to see, can we change our process, after you look to see if we can help somebody, after you look at every way you can see if you can improve the process and actually contribute to the main flow. If you can't do any of that, it doesn't say stop. It just says, well, okay, do something else that's useful that doesn't cause a problem by increasing WIP in a bad place. And I find people use it then as an indication as, oh, this is the time I'll go read that article I've been wanting to read for 3 months.
Good. Another question I want to ask you guys is, we have one big law in software development, and that's the law of the holy iteration. Everyone talks about iterations and iteration, but in Kanban, I have understand that you are more talking about the flow instead of iteration. Could you please elaborate a bit about that?
Well, first of all, the Agile Manifesto ironically never mentions iterations, as I recollect. It talks about building things in stages, but that doesn't necessarily mean iterations. But when I look at the differences between Lean and Kanban, the lack of an iteration in Kanban, and again, actually, you could put Kanban on Scrum, in which case you would have iterations. But if you start out with Kanban on a non-Scrum team, then you won't have iterations. But to me, that's like the fifth most important difference. So people point to that, but I would not say that's a significant thing, because even in Kanban, you have what you call cadence. In other words, you'll have a weekly or an every other week time that people can, that when the business stakeholders should update the input queue of the board. You'll have a weekly or an every other week when stakeholders will come and look at things if they're not doing it on a continuous basis. So time boxing of iterations has its place, but sometimes it's just overhead. You know, my experience is if a team is not very good at finishing things, you know, they don't really ever get to done, or they can't really close things out. Iterations are often a good way to help that lack of maturity to close things out. But if you've got people who really understand they need to close things out, then the iterations actually just kind of create some extra overhead.
A last question here. We have to maybe close this interview soon. We have guys now from Sweden and the States, America. I was talking about the culture differences, if it is any. The Kanban or Lean is a Japanese thing, and everything else good come from America, and we Swedes, it's in the between. Is it any culture differences between Kanban in different countries, or is it a global thing that works everywhere?
I personally think it can work everywhere. I think it's interesting if you study how did Toyota start Lean. I think there were cultural differences there. In other words, I'm not sure Lean could have started most any place other than in Japan at the time. And that's a historical, almost an historical accident. And I do think that's an interesting story we don't have time to go into now. But once the insight that you look at flow instead of productivity Well, that's just what I call lean science. I mean, that's just the way the world works. That's not a cultural thing. That's a, if you overwhelm yourself, I don't care if you're Japanese, Swedish, or American, you'll not do as well. And therefore, I think that's all the same. Now, what is perhaps different is that I believe there are opportunities. One of the things about lean talks about is lean, that managers really are leaders and coaches. Now, that's a cultural thing. In other words, in the United States, where we like to be cowboys and do what we want and nobody's going to tell us what to do, we don't need no stinking management. We have trouble sometimes accepting the fact that we can be coached and led. So I would say there might be some challenges in transitioning to what's possible with lean because of our cultures. But I would actually suggest lean actually even there is maybe more necessary in places like the U.S. because it gives more insights into actually how to have leadership and management and teams work together well by looking at the science, you might say, of lean in my mind, product development flow. I'm curious what you other guys think, because you're out there in Sweden. And
I think that Scandinavia was pretty early to adopt Scrum and Agile and spreading it quite quickly. And you could say that there's a management unfriendly side to Scrum. Especially in the early writings of Ken Schwaber, and I think that's been difficult for Americans and people from the UK indeed to cope with. But I don't think that was a problem in Sweden as much. So there I see a difference in culture, and also it has to do with the coaching thing you talk about, Alan. I think we are more open to that kind of leadership, and we are a very consensus-seeking culture in Sweden and Scandinavia, and yeah, flat organizations.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I think that's not a coincidence that you guys picked it up, and in fact, you move from Scrum to Lean faster as well, because I don't think I think you recognize that you needed to have it not be these islands as you talked about it, but look at the entire organization.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it is true, to be fair to Scrum, this is not inherent in Scrum. It's almost like there are two camps out there. When I listen to Jeff Sutherland, it's kind of interesting. If you read a blog by Ken Schwaber on this, you know, the chickens and pigs, and you read a blog by Jeff Sutherland on chickens and pigs, and these are the two co-creators of Scrum, you get two completely different senses of management by reading their respective blogs. So, and I know Jeff has been very present out in Scandinavia. So I know he had a big influence and I think was somewhat of a stepping stone from Scrum to Lean.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
Håkan, how is your experience with the different cultures?
I've mostly been working in Sweden, so I can't really say for differences between different companies, but countries and cultures. But one other thing, The nice thing about Kanban as the process change management approach is that it's very easy to apply to any kind of culture, I think. Because you start with what you got and then you focus on how you can make your total process more efficient. And that might mean that you will change the management structure, or you might keep it, depending on what works in your context. But I think the thinking of the lean management thinking, where you have the managers is more coaches and mentors that challenge you to be more efficient. It's a very interesting style, and I think it works very well in the Scandinavian countries.
I have a discussion a couple of days ago with a friend, and I said that I should have an interview about Lean and Kanban, and he had a rather interesting comment. Kanban and Lean is about process improvement, that you want to improve, but is it always so? Do we want to improve?
I think that everyone wants to improve, but no one wants to change.
Very nice. They want everybody else to improve.
Yeah, right.
But sometimes in many companies they don't have the possibility to improve. It's good enough and so on. How should we work, or how should we help them?
Well, you go. That's interesting with regards to the culture. I visited Japan last year, visited Toyota and a few other lean companies, and every last one of them talked about the threat from China. If we don't improve, all our jobs will go to China. And they live with a constant sense of urgency that if we don't do better and better and better, all our jobs will go to China. And I think that maybe we should start thinking of that as well in Sweden. India and China, they are really educating lots and lots and lots of really good developers all the time. And we're a bit isolated and too comfortable, I think, sometimes. But an anecdote.
I've read some books by an author called Kotter, and he talks a lot about if you want to make your organization change, you need to create this sense of urgency. So one of the main focuses as a manager, I believe, is to try to constantly change what's the emergency, try to create the sense of urgency that so people want to improve. And not just saying that everybody need to improve. You need to create a sense of urgency in the organization that you need to improve. There's a saying that good is the biggest enemy of best, or something like that. And it's often that if you think you're good enough, you don't strive to be even a little bit better, and eventually someone will surpass you and you're no longer the best again, and then you need to try to focus and create that sense of urgency. But companies like Toyota, they try to have this constant sense of urgency that push you towards making improvement all the time.
And Alan, do you have something to add to this?
Yes, I think both comments were really great, and I think one of the things that underlies the philosophy is most places what you see is they make improvement through initiatives. Oh, now we're going to do this. Oh, now we're going to do that. You know, and even Scrum, where it's a learning process, you do most of your learning at the retrospectives. So the idea is I'll remove problems when they come up, but at the end of the sprint, I'll then learn in the retrospective. Kanban and Lean take a different approach. It's about continuous learning, continuous process improvement. And in some ways, it makes it so it's not a question of threat, but it's a question of this is how we are. This, in my mind, is the true learning organization. And if you go back and think of the different things that were said, like with the visibility and the Kanban board and the work in progress limits and the explicit policies, you can see these are all ways of doing learning on a continual basis where if you get blocked, you can immediately see you're blocked, and you don't just say, oh, I've got a problem, let's fix it. Rather, you say, why did this problem happen? What's causing it? How do I get to the root cause of it? So a big difference in Lean and other methods I've seen, in Kanban Lean and other methods I've seen, is this inherent approach to continuous learning as opposed to learning via initiatives and threats. But I agree that the urgency you guys mentioned, I think that's what gets people started on it. And then the idea is, though, you want to really do it on a continual basis just because you know this is better.
And that was maybe the last answer from Alan and from every one of you, because we have to close this interview. We have been for 1 hour discussing Kanban, Lean, and even a little bit Scrum. I really want to thank you, Alan Shalloway, Joakim Sundén, and Håkan Fors, that you took your time on in Sweden the Friday afternoon and the Friday morning for you, Alan. So thank you very much for everything that you have said and discussed. It was a really interesting interview, I think.